Steuerung alt entfernen, der Tech-Podcast des Bitkom.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Steuerung alt entfernen. Mein Name ist Christoph Größmann und heute geht es um das Thema Leadership. Dazu hören wir gleich Aya Jaff. Sie ist 23 Jahre alt, Programmiererin, Co-Founder und CEO der Co-Design Factory. Auf Bitkoms Business Festival Hub Berlin hat sie kürzlich die Closing Keynote gehalten und zwar mit dem Titel How to Lead with Optimism. Mitgebracht hat sie darin 6 Lektionen zum Thema Leadership, die sie auf ihrem Weg in Tech-Unternehmen und NGOs gelernt hat. Viel Spaß!
Thank you so much for coming. As you can see, I may be one of the younger ones here in the room. My mom always used to say, try to be the dumbest one in the room, and then you're doing the smartest thing. So I hope I'm doing that. But I hope that I can also share some lessons with you that I've learned throughout the years of being a coder, of being someone who started out at a very young age and just overall is very new to this business world. Yeah, so hi, I'm Aya Jaff. I'm 23 years old. As I said, I'm a founder of Co-Design Factory. It's an agency that focuses on bringing young people to the marketing game and having a bolder look on HR topics. And I'm an author as well and a coder for the past 5 years. So today I'm going to talk about how to lead with optimism. Because what I've seen in the past couple of years is that, I don't want to say old people, but people who have been in the game for quite some time have the tendency to just look at the facts and then start to talk about the future and how it's going to look. And sometimes that really isn't the most positive way to think about things. So I've listed a couple lessons that I want to share with you that I think are gonna hopefully inspire you to maybe change the way you look at the things you're doing at the moment, to have a different outlook on your projects at the moment, and to maybe inspire your future leaders to change their perspective. So sometimes when I tell people what I do, like author, coder, founder, they're like, okay, that's a lot of things. But what do you want to be when you like really grow up? Like maybe when you finish your studies, what do you want to do for the next 20 years? And I feel so overwhelmed by that question. I'm like, I don't know what I want to do for the next 20 years. I'll just keep doing what I like right now. And I've come about this very interesting chart. It's how the cycle of work is likely to change. And you can see clearly that my parents might still think in that, yeah, three-part life cycle that, you know, first you study, you maybe do a few internships. You don't start something on your own yet because you're just, I don't know, you're looking into the things you might want to do later. And then you go do your job. Like my mother and my dad are doing their jobs for the past 30 years, I'd say. And then you retire. But obviously, the way I look at life and how my friends look at their lives as well is much more the chart on the right. So maybe they do their job after they graduate. Maybe they quit it after 6 months. They move to another thing. They're very fast. They know exactly what they don't like. They know exactly what they like. They want to go for things that are pretty new, that sound exciting. They want to try themselves out. They're not really interested in staying at one job forever. Doesn't mean that everyone is like that, of course, but this is what I've seen with my friends, and this is how we approach companies overall. We don't go into that company with the mindset of staying there for the next 15 years. So I don't believe in talking about the future because honestly, in every step of the way, the future changes for me. My vision of the future changes with the next job I get, with the next idea I have, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after that. And it always it depends on sometimes even the world economy, my mood, and it's just senseless for me to just talk about the future, at least in my life. But there's also a big research done on why we shouldn't just talk about the future overall in just the next 20 years, because it's almost like our brains haven't evolved effectively to tolerate and deal with the speed of changes. And that tells me that we should just stop just talking about the future. It's fun and all if we imagine how robots are gonna serve us in the future, or maybe treat us human-like, and AI is gonna be this big thing that's gonna help us in our lives, but we need to think about here and now. We need to think about how we can influence the future today and what we can do about it today. So yeah, let's come to my 6 lessons I've learned through the time where I have done a lot of work just for nonprofits, just with people who are passionate enough to do things in their spare time, to do things for free. I've worked with a lot of coders that could have just gone to Google or I don't know, Tesla, and worked there, have a great salary, but they chose to work on something that really, really matters to them. And I think these lessons helped, or these lessons should tell you how they approached these very important years in their life, in between their studies and in between their first real job, just experimenting. So my first lesson is make your organization a platform for change. Because we millennials, we want to talk about the meaning of life. We want to see a sense in what we're doing. Not that the older generation doesn't, but it's clearly for us about having some sort of joy, having some sort of fulfillment in what we do from day to day. And we also want to have the feeling of being needed and being able to really learn whatever we want to learn in our work time. So I want to talk about a project I did with Adidas. Their slogan is "Here to Create." I really love that because it just invites all kind of people to the company, not only people who are fashion designers or, I don't know, have studied economy, or they basically talk to everyone, even coders. And we did a hackathon series. Can we show a little show of hands? Who knows what a hackathon is? Amazing. Okay. Last time I talked about this project, just 10% of the crowd said they know what a hackathon is. So that's a really good sign. So we did a hackathon series in Europe, and it had a great turnout because they were trying to find more people who are from the tech side to like experience Adidas as a tech employer. And what we try to do is we try to get also more girls interested in the whole thing, because as you know, not a lot of women or like girls are interested in tech anyways. So we didn't even talk about the word tech when we talked about the event and when it's going to be. We just say, hey, if you like fashion, if you want to create something new, something that you do on your own in one day, something that maybe lights up and blinks, then this is an event for you. It's just for you to try yourself out. It's for you if you want to maybe turn an idea you have for a jacket or for some nice shoes into reality with people who can help you. And we got all kinds of different people. We got coders, we got fashion designers, we got people who are not, they didn't want to call themselves anything, they just were really looking forward to working with the Adidas team and getting to know their products. What I also learned at that hackathon is that so many people get excited once they know what their idea is going to be. that they move very, very quickly from one stage to another. They're like, oh my God, okay, I know what this is gonna, what's the name gonna be. I know how we could approach this. I already know that we are gonna make an app. And in the next 2 days, we're also gonna have a website, blah, blah, blah. They know so much about their next steps. They tend to rush things. So when I'm a mentor at those hackathons, I always tell them, slow down, because you might get overwhelmed. You have so many great ideas, I believe you, but just make a detailed plan, one step after the another, and then try to solve this as you go. So moving quickly at a hackathon obviously can cost you a lot of points as well, because if you don't think about your marketing plan, if you don't think about your application thoroughly, you might not be able to convince the judges that this is a good idea. Also, lesson number 3. I've experienced that the teams at these hackathons, the ones who win, they are actually huge, huge optimists. So they don't just lose their passion because they stumbled upon one big challenge at one day. No, they stay there. And you don't know how much happiness can affect your overall performance. It improves your creativity, it improves your engagement levels, and it improves your productivity levels. So many people think that happiness precedes success. Oh, sorry, success precedes happiness. For example, they might say, oh, if I get a straight A in that exam, I'm gonna be happy. Or if I get that job, then I will be happy. It's actually not like that. It's actually a mindset that you have. You have to enjoy the process, and you have to try to understand the process and being happy overall while you do the thing, and that is how you master the upcoming challenges. Also, lesson number 4. Wisdom can come in many, many forms. I will challenge you to try to come up with new ways for coming up with solutions for your problem. Because I think that there are so many solutions hidden when you talk maybe to your niece, maybe to your 12-year-old niece about your marketing challenges. And then maybe you ask her, hey, what do you think about my brand? What do you think maybe about my Instagram channel? Is this fun enough for you? Does this resonate with you? Do you understand our message? So many things are sometimes not able to be found in those traditional ways, or not to be found in books, or not to be found in, I don't know, talking to your boss about this, but it's just getting a fresh new look on this idea or this thought you have. So yeah, sometimes it's not acceptable to just stay in your bubble, get out, do something different, ask somebody else to look at your work and give you feedback on it. Lesson number 5. What I've come across as someone who codes a lot is that people don't like to say things very straight on to newbies sometimes. Maybe they don't do it very... They don't do it actively, but they just use a lot of words that people don't understand if they're not in the scene. So maybe, of course, yes, some of you know what the definition of AI is, but a lot of people don't. They have this fear, and they don't know what the technology is about. They don't know what your work is about. So try to be someone who talks in the most simple words, try to be someone who is willing to break it down and explain things like they're explaining them to a five-year-old. Because essentially that's what your customer gets in the end. They're not in the business world you're in. They just want to understand your product, and sometimes it's the best way to get your point across and not just talk in those business words or techie words that nobody understands. Just say it straight and, yeah, don't be too arrogant to really, really get down and explain them your idea. Lesson number six, coming from someone who is very young and very dependent on social media and their phone and everyone else. I say this, but I'm really trying to work on this my own. Unplug every once in a while. I have found out that sometimes this is the best way to eliminate stress. Sometimes it is the best way to really refresh and get down to ground zero and be like, okay, this whole world that I'm stressing about right now is not worth it. I myself, my ideas, my thoughts, they're original enough. I need to work on them and not give up about what other people think at this moment, because I'm just exploring myself, I'm just exploring me, not letting myself stress out about little things or the Kardashians or whatever. So next time you try, you experience stress, I'd like to say to try this. Make a list. On the left side, there are things you can control. And on the right side, there are things you can't control that you stress about. Then look at the left side and then make one concrete step. Sketch it out, write it down to reduce that stress just a little bit. Because that changes your mindset and how you think about your problems. It overall shifts you into thinking about your life in a more, I'd say, happy place. I'm not saying you have to be happy all the time, but I'm saying do the best you can to eliminate the stress you have. Because as I said, leading with optimism is the best thing you can do to improve almost every level in your life and in your job. And these are the things that I've learned that bring the teams that work very hard on those hackathons, that bring them to success, that makes them really excited about their goal for a long time. And I would like to just tell you, maybe the ones who have bigger projects on their own, who have to work longer hours, or yeah, have some goals that are much, much bigger than just one weekend hackathon, but maybe these lessons inspire you to think more positively and to calm down, really breathe in and be like, okay, I can do this. It's all about being calm. Thank you so much. These are my lessons.
Das war Aya Jaff mit ihrem Talk auf der Hub Berlin 2019. Alle Infos dazu gibt es auch in unseren Shownotes und auf www.bitkom.org/podcast. Danke euch fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal.
Das war Steuerung Alt Entfernen, der Tech-Podcast des Bitkom. Weitere Folgen findet ihr auf www.bitkom.org/podcast.